Amen. 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 Now, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And in just a few moments, after I finish this message, I'm going to call Pastor John Jester up, and he's going to be giving us some instructions about the laying hands on the children today. And the way the Lord had me to do this is all of our pastoral staff is going to come to the front, and we are going to create, we've done this before, we've called it the Tunnel of Love, but I'm calling it the Blessing Tunnel. Your children will be walking through the Blessing Tunnel today with fresh revelation coming off of this meeting, fresh revelation about the blessing of the Lord and how important it is, and how important it is as parents that we bless our children. We've been given that privilege. We've been given that honor to do that. And today we will do that. And we'll be giving specific instruction for those of you who have babies up to 2 years old to be able to walk them through this tunnel of the blessing. It's strong. It's very strong in here today. And there's going to be a change where our children are concerned. I just got word that Super Kid Academy is packed out. There is not a chair left. And I was just back there a few moments ago praying for a few of the children, and they're all dressed up. They look beautiful. They look beautiful. And I wish you were there. When I walked in, they had children that were lining up, and they started running up to me. I mean, this tall. Pastor George, Pastor George, we watched you on television. And it's so wonderful for a pastor to have that kind of connection with children. I love children. I are one. Ask my wife. I am one. And I do. I have such a love for children. You know, that's part of the pastoral, if you will call it equipment, but it really is more than equipment. It's from the heart of the Father. And I heard Brother Hagin say this one time, that the pastor is the daddy of the church. And the daddy sometimes is not as tough as the mommy. We probably should be sometimes, but really I think it's okay. And I, you know, when Pastor Terry would have me spank Aubrey, I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. But she would assign me that task. And I would go back there and I would be very gentle with Aubrey. But I did not know the Jesse Duplantis theory of disciplining your children back then. If you don't know what that was, what would happen was Kathy would say, go back there and spank Jody. They'd go back to her bedroom and they'd sit on the bed. And Jesse would say, now, when I make the noise like I'm spanking you, I want you to cry, but I'll be hitting the bed. I don't recommend that, really. But I love the children of this church. I love your children. I love your grandchildren. And I'm getting used to saying great-grandchildren, because we have great-grandchildren now in the Copeland family. And how important it is to bless them. This first scripture that the Lord gave me, Mark 10, and we'll read verse 13 through 16. And I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I'll tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Now take note of this last sentence here. Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. He blessed them. I think we get a really good picture of Jesus and who he was for children to come running up to him. Children don't run up to mean-looking, austere individuals. They run up to somebody who is welcoming to them. I think about what just happened a few moments ago. I was surrounded by little children. I could not walk anywhere. They were grabbing my legs, looking up at me. Pastor George, Pastor George, Pastor George. And how wonderful that was. How wonderful it is to feel that. But they felt the freedom to do that. I had these big men that were around me, helping me, leading me to these children. They backed off, and these little children attacked me, and I was so thankful for it. I do. I really enjoy. I enjoy being around children. And you know what? Jesus loved being around children. I can picture him. I can picture him sitting on the ground playing with kids, because he would. Those kids would run up to him just as they did here. And the disciples, the parents brought the children to Jesus for him to bless them. They saw something on him that was transferred to these children, and they brought children. This was not the only time that it happened. We think that this is just one incident out of, you know, just all the times that Jesus walked the earth. They did that all the time. That was going on all the time. You know, there are only 19 instances of healings in the Gospels. But what took place and what happened has not been written, all of the things that happened. And I believe this was one of them. Everywhere Jesus went, children would run up to him. And the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Maybe this was one of the first times and the last time that they ever did that. They were like security around him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, it angered him. He said he was angry with his disciples. He said, "Let those children come to me." And they backed off. "Don't stop them," he said. "For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." When we look at children, we see the kingdom of God. We see that innocence. We see that hunger. I saw that today just a few moments ago. I saw the wonderful joy and the gladness that was on their faces. And that's receiving the kingdom of God. Receiving the kingdom of God like a child. And he said, then he took the children in his arms, listen very carefully, and he placed his hands on their head and he blessed them. This was not a sudden outburst of affection. It wasn't, and I wrote this in my notes here, it wasn't Jesus saying, "Y'all are so adorable, come on over here, give Uncle Jesus a big hug." It wasn't quite like that. There was something more to it. What was taking place, this was a highly spiritual act that represented a rich foundational part of Jesus' heritage as a Jew among his family and among his community. This was serious business. Serious business that was going on. And it said that he blessed them. He blessed them. And let's take just a moment here to talk about the word bless. And let's go beyond a sneeze. Let's go beyond saying bless you when somebody sneezes. No, there's something very important about the word bless. It is the Hebrew word barach. And a couple of the definitions that I looked up, and I did this just a little while ago. I was listening to Pastor Terry and involved in that. All of a sudden, I found myself looking this up. I'm sure you've never done that when I'm preaching. Anyway, no. But I looked up the word bless, and listen to this. It means to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. To bless. To bless. To do something or to confer something of value to another. When the blessing takes place, there is something of value that is being conferred. When God spoke to man in the garden, in Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it." That was something of great value to man, which is still on us today. Adam gave that up. Jesus got it back. That's why you and I live in the blessing no matter where we go. No matter where we go, the blessing is on us. No matter where Pastor Terry and Julie and David and Wendy go and fly, wherever they are, the blessing is on them. The blessing is on you. You need to realize this from the standpoint of no matter where you live, the blessing is on you. And there's so much. I mean, we could really get into a lot talking about this blessing because it includes everything from perfect health to protection. It runs the whole gamut, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, in every way. And your own neighborhoods are supposed to change because you're there. That's why this earth just doesn't fold up, because we're here. The blessing is on us. Say, the blessing is on us. That blessing is on us. To bless someone, to speak good words, gracious words over them, important words to them. To bless, to empower, to prosper. That's what he was doing with man, God was, when he blessed mankind, to empower them to prosper, to empower them to be successful. Success is not a bad word. It is a Bible word. To be successful is a Bible word. To be wealthy is a Bible word. To be rich is a Bible word. It is biblical. It is of a biblical proportion to walk in the wealth of God and the blessing of the Lord. And it goes so far beyond even when we, and we didn't say this in New England, they say this more in the South, I think, but when somebody does something really dumb or stupid, bless your heart, honey. Bless your heart. That's not conferring value. That's conferring you idiot. That's not right. No, the blessing. Those were the first words, as we learned through Brother Copeland, the first words that hit the eardrums of mankind. They set the precedent for the future and what the future was going to look like for us. You and I live in this blessing. And it's so important what happened when Jesus blessed them, laid his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. He was conferring something of value. When your children go through the blessing tunnel today, all of the pastors will lay hands on them. And Pastor George will be at the end there. Pastor Terry, you can join me. Because I reserved the last blessing over them as they go through. And I'm not even sure how this is going to work, but David was talking to me, do you want to play music? I don't know. All I know is the Lord said, lay hands on these children. And we'll see exactly how it plays out. Let me read a couple of scripture verses to you. In Hebrews 11, 20 and 21, I'll read this to you from the Amplified Translation. Some of you are turning there anyway. Go ahead. Go there. You're hungry for the word. I started doing a study, and I did this study some years ago. And I was thinking about today's message and bringing this to you, and the Lord brought me back to that study. And I was able to add some things to it and shift some things around. But in Hebrews 11, verses 20 and 21 in the Amplified Translation, it says in verse 20, with eyes of faith, Isaac, looking far into the future, invoked blessings upon Jacob and Esau. And really, that's what I call this message, invoke the blessing upon your children. Invoke the blessing upon your children. When Mr. Trump made the decision to move the embassy to Jerusalem, he invoked the blessing on the United States of America. How grateful we are for that. And here we have, with eyes of faith, when you pray over your children, and I recommend that you do it every night. Pastor Terry and I did that every night with our children. If one were busy or having to be away, the other one would do that. And we would have this, the ritual, every single night. We would sit down with them. We would pray with them. And then we would let Pawpaw preach to them. And the children, Pawpaw is Kenneth Copeland. And let the children hear throughout the night the living word of God. And we blessed them. That's what we were doing. We were blessing our children. And if you're not doing that now, I would highly recommend that you do that. And you continue to do that. You continue to bless your children at night before they go to bed. But with eyes of faith, Isaac, looking far into the future, invoked blessings upon Jacob and Esau. A blessing upon our children is really prophetic, because the Lord has given to you as parents and grandparents. And I know there are situations in this church where you may have, as grandparents, you may have a son or a daughter. Maybe they're not with the Lord right now. Maybe they're not in church right now. Maybe those kids are not in church. Maybe the only time those children ever come to church is when they come with you. What a memory they'll have. What a wonderful memory that they'll have of that. I remember Terry telling me stories about Nani and Granddad taking her to church, her grandparents taking her to church. It's really something when your grandparents take you to church. But there is an anointing on a parent or a grandparent or a great parent, grandparent, that if the parents are walking with the Lord, they've been given the blessing to look far into the future of their children. There were some things that we saw about Jeremy as he was growing up, and it is absolutely no surprise he's doing what he's doing today. There's no surprise that he's on television. There's no surprise that he's preaching the way he is. I've watched Terry through the years. When he was small, she would sit and teach him from the Word of God. Maybe he would do something that deserved a spanking, but then she would teach him out of the Word of God. Train him up in the way that he should go. And with me, I was the one that held the camera in front of him all the time. Okay, Jeremy, speak. And I've got just footage, thousands of feet, if you will, of footage of having Jeremy stand and talk into the camera. There was something about it that we were seeing, and we helped guide them. We help lead them, and we bless them. We impart that blessing so that the road is paved before them to be able to walk that out. Same thing with Aubrey. The same thing with Aubrey. What an amazing mother Aubrey is to her three girls. I saw it the day that I was sitting there with my big video camera, the ones that you could put a VHS into when they first came out. And I was sitting there, and I was with her. I don't know where Terry was at that time, but I was with Aubrey, and she had Raggedy Ann and Andy, and she put them on the couch. And I think it was Raggedy Ann that was sick, and it was ant bites, I think. Anyway, but I'm capturing this. I've got it. I have it. You can look at it. I've got it at home. And little Aubrey was sitting there. Little Aubrey, she's 4 or 5 years old. And she's sitting there with her Bible open upside down. She's probably 3 or 4 years old with her upside down. And she started, devil, you take your hands off of Raggedy Ann. In the name of Jesus, you take your hands off. And I've got it. I've got the footage of it. And I thought to myself, she's going to make a great mother one day. And you know what? She is. I've got footage of her singing as she was trying out for auditions for Super Kid movies. I've got it. I've got a piece of footage that I put on my phone of her singing. And by that time, she was probably 12, I guess. And Terry's directing her. Terry's the producer. And she's singing. And so Aubrey today is helping to lead worship at the church that she attends in Oklahoma City. And she's been tapped for all of the victory campaigns and conventions this year to lead worship. Isn't that something? So Isaac, with the eyes of faith, Isaac looking far into the future. And that's what we're going to do today as we lay hands on these children. We're looking far into the future. I'm looking at those little kids holding onto my leg, and I'm looking down at them. And this is what I do. I look at children and I see them years from now. What will you be doing? How will you be serving God? What will you be doing in your life? How important it is that we do that. And grandparents, again, if your children don't have their children in church, there is a space and a place for you to invoke the blessing on their lives. Maybe your children right now at this point in time don't want anything to do with this. And the Lord will show you the right time where you're alone with those children. And you do just like Jesus did. You lay your hands on their head and impart the blessing. Impart that blessing. That's why the Lord gives us generations. So one generation can praise the works of God to another, that they can impart something into their life. In verse 21, it says, prompted by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in prayer over the top of his staff. There's a grandfather. There's a grandfather invoking the blessing. And no doubt that Jesus experienced the same thing with his father. Not only his earthly father, but heavenly father, as I have here, Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." The father was blessing his son. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have regularly invoked a a blessing upon their children. From the time that Jewish children are babies, their parents take advantage of the weekly Sabbath, the Shabbat, family time, and they lay their hands on their children and speak God's blessing into their lives. I found it on YouTube, you can. And I saw them do it. It's precious. It's so precious. And in just a few moments, I will give you the blessing upon sons and I'll give you the blessing upon daughters. What they say to them. This continues into adolescence and beyond. Jewish children simply grow up feeling blessed by their parents and blessed by God. Our children should be that way. Our children should know that. Is it any wonder that they're so successful in life? They're blessed on a regular basis. And that's why the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me right there. He said, lay hands on the children and impart something important into them next Sunday. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Again, for parents, the responsibility is so important. I can't tell you how important it is. And this scripture bears it out. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are to train up our children. We are to train them in the ways of the Lord. They're here a couple of times a week. They're with you all the time. Are you training them? Are you teaching them? Are you doing what they say in the book of Deuteronomy, to speak the word all the time? To have it all around the house, to have it before them. No, we can't just expect for one impartation a week to do it. It's got to happen through you. It has to happen through the parents. I realized early on when my children were small, and I realized this especially with Aubrey, that I needed to be an example to her. I needed to show her what her husband was going to look like and how he was going to treat her. And the things he was going to do for her. That's why I would open the door to the car for my daughter. I would do that for her because I wanted her to see a man in her life doing that. And I would be affectionate towards her. I would speak words of love towards her. She texted me this morning, sitting on the side over here, watching Terry. I was very busy this morning. While you're talking, I did hear what you said, but she texted me a message. She said, she's very creative. And that's what our household was, very creative household, music, art. That's what we did. That's what they saw. But she sent a text and she said, I think we need to package all of these, the series that mom is doing, in these classes that she's teaching. I thought, what a great idea. But then she said, we should call them Hey Jude. That's me. That's my... So then I just happened to punch my photographs and I found a picture of Aubrey and me last year at a victory campaign, and I was getting ready to speak in the Friday afternoon session, and she was singing in that particular meeting, and I just pulled her over to me and introduced her to the people that were there, and she hugged me, she kissed me on the cheek, and and they got pictures of that. So I sent her a picture of that. Then she sent me a little emoji people crying. See, that blessing still goes on. It still goes on. And men, that's the way we should be to our children. We should be affectionate towards them. We should be sweet. And let them see. Give them an example. Well, we are to train up our children in the way they should go. And I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about when we raise children in today's society. And I've really been thinking about that lately. And how it's so different from when I grew up. You know, the worst thing in my high school was they were smoking in the restrooms. And that wasn't going on all the time. But I remember walking by a restroom one day in the high school and there was smoke coming out of it. I thought, somebody's in trouble. And that was it. That was the extent of it. When I later in high school, and the Lord really protected me going through high school. I lived more on the outskirts of town, so I couldn't get to where everybody was. And I think the Lord was protecting me. Sometimes I like stomp my foot and say, why do I live so far away from everybody? Yeah, why do you live so far away from everybody that's partying and drinking? Why do I have you set apart? And I think about that right now. I think the Lord really did set me apart. I had one friend down the street and we'd hang out together. And we tried smoking one time and quit. We did. We hid some cigarettes under the house. And for 2 days in a row, we got off the bus at my house. And we ran and we got the cigarettes. And I didn't like it at all. I quit. It was awful. It was terrible. I thought, what am I doing this for? But I think about what they're dealing with today. The things that are going on. The gender struggles. The lack of prayer. I mean, think about what is happening in them. And they're facing these pressures on a daily basis that earlier generations did not have to deal with. It's a new world out there. It's a world that if we're not connected to it, and I know, Pastor John, you're in the midst of that. You know, you understand. I don't as much, but I'm learning. I'm learning about what's going on there and learning how important it is that we keep our children under that protection of the blood. God-fearing children face an uphill battle and they risk feeling out of place and isolated. In high school, I was that way and I wasn't even saved. I just didn't like getting in trouble. And I was persecuted for it. I was isolated from a lot of people that I wanted to connect with, although it was really interesting that the people who rejected me after we graduated from high school, a bunch of them got saved and they accepted me. We accepted each other. It was really quite something. That was phenomenal. How do we protect and strengthen our children? Well, you provide them with a sense of connectedness at home and in church. It is so important to be in church. For some, this is just the thread. This is just a thread that they have that protects them against what all is going on out there. And to get them in here and to get them under this protective covering. And I see it. I see 1440 growing and growing and growing. 1440 is going to be a refuge for teenagers to be able to come and both get relief. And it's going to be a place for those that are out there in the world to be able to come and get delivered from whatever it is they're dealing with in this day and hour. And parents have to exercise the spiritual power vested in them. In them for what? To bless their children. To train them up in the way that they should go. And I understand. I understand the things that I went through as a child. And I remember how close I was to my parents. And then there was a point in time as I got a little bit older, I started moving away from them. I mean, I remember the day that we went out for a drive and we were driving by this place where there are a lot of my friends and I hid behind the back seat. Why did I do that? And there were things that I would gripe and complain about and let them go off to church by themselves. But the Lord really got a hold of me. He really did. At 19 years old, I got saved. I got saved and all of that changed. And with my parents, I endeavored to turn all of that around and just honor them and respect them all the days of their lives. Biblical examples reveal that parents not only have the power to pray, they have the power to bless. Say, I have the power to bless.
I have the power to bless.
My children and my grandchildren.
My children.
And my great-grandchildren. Now, some of you that just said that, that was really strange coming out of your lips because there are no children or grandchildren yet. But I tell you what, there will be one day. In the Jewish tradition, the Sabbath is the time when the families would gather together. They'd go to synagogue together. It's a beautiful thing. They'd go to synagogue together. And then after the Friday evening prayers, the parents would bless the children. And you can look this up on YouTube, but you can actually see them, these families that they show on YouTube, and they say it like this. They say, either the children come to the parents and they bless them, or the parents go to the children and they bless them. And they were demonstrating that, showing these little kids going up to their parents and standing there like this. And they would lay their hands on them. Sound familiar? They would lay their hands on them. And they would make the declaration of the blessing. And then oftentimes what they would do was they would add things. They'd say things to them. And then they would kiss them. They would kiss them. And this one particular rabbi that I was watching, he was saying, you know, don't worry about it. Maybe your teenagers don't want to be kissed, but go ahead and kiss them anyway. It's all right. It's okay. And so they would bless the children after the Friday evening prayers, and they would speak the blessing over them, and they would give them, he said, personal encouragement. Then they would hug them, and they would kiss them. Look at Genesis 48. Genesis 48. In the study and the research that I did, I saw where there was a blessing for sons and a blessing for daughters. What's that? They're lined up and ready to go. And I have two more pages left. For additional CDs. All right, let me do this. The blessing for the sons. They got that from Genesis 48:20. May the Lord make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Why did they do that? They were the first brothers who put the welfare of the family and community over their own rights. And they did not fight with one another over their birthright. And so to this day, the Jews do that. They pray over their sons, the blessing. The daughters comes from Ruth 4. Ruth 4. It says in verse 11, the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman Ruth, who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. So this is how they would bless the girls. May the Lord make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, who together built God's household. May your entire life be fruitful, and may the Lord's full will for you be accomplished in your life. I like this other one too. Sometimes they would say, make your mouth speak with wisdom. May your heart meditate with reverence. May your hands do the work that God has given you. May your feet hasten to follow the path that God has laid out for you. Then there was a blessing for boys and girls from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. They would pray over them, bless them, and they would say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And then oftentimes what they would do, they would continue with the blessing in Isaiah 11, 2. The spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And so what we do today is we invoke the blessing. The original blessing, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And that's what we're going to do. Pastor John.